afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And you know, we are on with our serial guest. He qualifies as a serial guest now, Mr. Peter Friedman.
Talking about Sharia.
Today we're on Sharia. We've been on Islam, which is all connected, obviously. And, you know, we just really felt that there was so much information that you obviously couldn't do it in one show. That's ridiculous. But there's so much of this that's affecting us every single day. And we all really are getting to a point where we're going to have to take a stand.
Well, you're going to have to learn because it's
coming.
It's becoming more and more prevalent in our society.
And the bad part is our ignorance is making us silent.
Yep.
So we have, it's interesting, I received a call during the break from somebody who had said he spoke to a group of people who've all been listening to this and obviously found it interesting. But one of those people reached out to the local newspaper. The editor and I'm not sure exactly the personnel, but the top folks at the local paper, and sent them written documentation of all these things that Mr. Friedman's talking about the last few weeks, and they wrote back and said that she was a hater. That's mm-hmm. all hate speech.
It's hate speech.
You're just a hate speecher, yep. And so obviously they see no problem with all of this. Because they don't know what they're talking about. So, Peter, I guess that sort of throws a new wrinkle into this. What the heck do the rest of us do about a deal like that when we have our newspapers and, I mean, even city council, you know, letting imams do the opening prayer for the city council so that we can all be, you know, I don't know, kumbaya.
Well, this is something that I've been doing for many, many years. And going out and speaking to groups and bringing a copy of Sharia with me, bringing the Quran with me. I think I told you down in Gilroy, I was doing a thing with about 120, 130 people, residents down there. We were trying to let everybody know what would be coming if they built the mosque and the Islamic cemetery. And I was reading from the Quran, and this guy, about 30 years old, came running into the room at the public library and started jumping up and down about how he had been standing in the hallway. And, you know, he can't believe that the public library would allow this hate speech to be, spoken, you know, in a public place. And I said, excuse me, I said, but, you know, we're reading directly from the Quran. Have you ever read the Quran? And the guy just stood there. You could have heard a pin drop. No. I said, are you Muslim? No. I said, what are you? He said, I'm a Sikh. And I said, well, where's your turban and your beard? Well, I'm not a practicing Sikh. And I said, fine. And I said, in every one of my presentations, I always leave one empty chair right up in the front row just for situations like that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, why don't you come on up here and sit down, and I'm going to continue reading verses directly from the Quran. And about 10, 15 minutes later, the guy got up and he said, you know, he said, this has opened my eyes. And he says, I never understood, but I may go buy a copy and start reading it for myself.
Well, that's interesting, Peter, because I used to do business with a fellow who was a Sikh. And we had a conversation about the Muslim faith. And there is and he was a practicing Sikh, and there is no love lost between Sikhs and Muslims.
Yeah, real Sikhs.
Oh, yeah, real Sikhs. No, they do not go for it at all.
No, they don't have a scripture like Jews and Christians do. And you have to understand how this whole thing came about and we were discussing this last week about how, you know, Muhammad was trying from Mecca peacefully to appeal to the Jewish community in Mecca. That he, to accept him as the third and final prophet after Moses and Jesus. And, you know, they said, no, thank you, Monty Python style. Thanks, we've got one, got a very nice one. And, you know.
Very nice one.
Very nice one, Monty Python on the Holy Grail.
Exactly.
You know, got one, very nice one, too. You know, and you just, it's ignorance. It is denial, and it's ignorance for the simple reason that people do not want to have to admit that, like physically, they may have cancer, they have something, and they have to deal with it. If they know about it, they have to deal with it, because if they don't deal with it, then it's their own fault if something bad happens, and they can't defend it. And this is one of the reasons why, bless them for doing it, for the last two New Years, I have actually been able to spend the weekend with the Seventh-day Adventist group up here in Napa. And the first time I did this a year ago, boy, that first day, because I did several of these over that New Year's weekend, and the first one, the people sitting in the room, I mean, they were somewhat horrified at this Seventh-day Adventist retreat that I was bringing this stuff up and trying to explain the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sharia. And the second day, they all said, wow, we want you back. And not only did we have a great time that second day then, but they invited me back last year, last New Year's, and we did two or three more presentations. And, you know, it's just, we are so outnumbered, and the problem with the clergy is that the, and I've approached the Christian clergy, I've approached rabbis, even some that I'm personally acquainted with, and they do not want this information being given to their congregations, because they feel that to denigrate one faith will ultimately wind up pointing the finger at theirs. And I'm saying, look, if you have truth on your side,
yeah, really, what are you afraid of?
Exactly. What are you afraid of? You know, well, we're all trying to get along. Well, you've got this entire political ideology that doesn't want to get along with anybody if they don't belong to their club.
I mean, by the time these guys figure out that we're not all going to get along, we will be subjects.
Well, I still think that, unfortunately, from a historical standpoint, it may wind up being out in the street.
Yeah.
You know, I was very, very, very upset last night to see on the news that somebody in Brooklyn took out an imam and an associate after they were leaving a mosque. I don't know whether you saw that on the news last night, but I'm very interested in finding out who the perpetrator was, because I know what the news is going to do.
Right.
You can tell, you can see it coming. You can just see it coming, and they will not crack down on the people and the imams and the mosques that are reading and preaching from the Quran and preaching from Sharia, what we're talking about today, but they will go after the Christian and Jewish community for, you know, bringing it up and hate speech. It's like Loretta Lynch said, you know, see something, say something. No, it's see something, say something, unless it's about Islam.
Unless it's about Islam, and then that's not okay. Do you know anything about the... I did read a report earlier in the week that there was a Catholic church during Mass, and there were some people who had, you know, babies that were crying, so they took them kind of out on the front, out the front door, on the front porch. At that time, a vehicle with guys that were apparently Muslim, I mean, were going by with bullhorns, shouting, you know, the Allahu Akbar thing. And I guess it was all reported, but they left that part out of the police report.
Didn't hear that. You asked me.
It said it was in California, so I was curious.
Well, we have gotten thousands of Muslim refugees. 8 years, we've got over 50,000 of them resettled here just in California.
Hmm.
And it's all in the report to Congress. You can just go Google it, and you can read it, and you can go to the charts in the back, and the charts in the back will tell you exactly the cities that they were relocated in, which one of those 9 bogus charities, you know, making money off of this deal, relocated them there, and the federal government now, once they turn them over to those local 9 charities, the federal government washes their hands of the whole thing, and they have no idea what has happened to these people. But you were asking before the break about what's going on in America. Michigan. Michigan is basically done. You have Dearborn, which now we refer to as Dearbornistan, And in Dearborn, Michigan, you have roughly 100,000 population. Over 35,000 are Muslims that have been relocated there. The police chief is Muslim. The city council is Muslim. You know, if you call the city government, press 1 for English, press 2 for Arabic.
Yikes.
You know, and they are attempting right now to institute some Sharia courts, at least for civil matters. And again, I said that there have been 52 cases, and you can look these up on Google, in 26 states that have used Sharia in arbitration between Muslims. And then Hamtramck in Michigan again. I'm not quite sure what it is about Michigan, but Hamtramck has turned almost into a Muslim enclave. Then you can go, as we talked about early on here in the last few sessions, about Minnesota, where Keith Ellison has been the Muslim convert who has been the representative for Dearborn. That's in Michigan. There is a Muslim woman in Minnesota who was just on the news, who is on there, and I think she either just got elected to the city council, but with the hijab on and the whole nine yards, and that's where Bill Clinton located all the Somalis we brought in after Mogadishu. And there are 900 cab drivers that are licensed to service Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, and every single one of them is a Somali Muslim. And there's been stuff on the news just for years about how, you know, somebody hailed a cab up there at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, and they either had a service dog with them, or they had, they were bringing in some duty-free liquor, and they were denied entry into the cab. It's just,
they don't like dogs
either.
Crazy.
I'm sorry?
They don't like dogs either?
Oh, no. Dogs are filth.
Wow.
Dogs are filth. Matter of fact, I
right
just
up there
read
with bacon?
Yep. That tears it for me right there.
Dogs and
yep.
bacon, huh? Dogs, bacon, and
yeah.
wine. What an interesting combination.
Mm.
Going back here, I read this a few minutes ago. Let's see. Where are we here?
Hey, why don't you look that up? We'll take swift break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break.
We're talking about wine and where is that?
Bacon.
Pure filth. Our dogs and pigs are their offspring. It's in Sharia. It's in Section E 14.0.
Dang.
Number 8.
Right. So for all you dog lovers out there.
We'll pick that up. And for you folks that typically listen to us online, we are back up now. Our chat's back up, so you can pick us up.
WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Guaranteed you're not going to hear...
Don't you mean filthy dogs?
Filthy dogs. You're not going to hear that on Muslim radio, that's for sure.
Oh, Peter.
God, I love it.
God, during the break, I was going to go in the bathroom, but I couldn't remember which foot to use, and I noticed there were no rocks in there, so...
Well, you got to enter with the left foot and then exit with the right foot.
And then shake it all about.
I was going to shake it all about, but I couldn't get in. Yeah.
All right. Well, we were talking about San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about some punishment.
Ooh, okay.
The penalties.
Since, obviously, I can't even remember which foot to go in the bathroom, so I'm being punished first, so let me know what I'm into.
There you go. Okay.
Going to be
ugly. Section O, 12.0, the penalty for fornication or sodomy. If the offender is someone with the capacity to remain chaste, then he or she is stoned to death. So, in other words, they knew what they were doing, okay, and they understood that it was wrong. If the offender is not someone with the capacity to remain chaste, then the penalty consists of being scourged 100 stripes and banished to a distance of at least 50 miles for 1 year. Then we go to 12.5. An offender is not scourged in intense heat or bitter cold. We don't want to, you know.
Yeah, because that's important. Them. If you're going to get swacked with a lash, you know, you want to make sure it's just the right temperature.
That's a nice day. Yeah.
It is.
An
like
offender
a balmy
is not
day.
Scourged in intense heat or bitter cold, or when he is ill and recovery expected until he recovers.
He'd have a perennial
whip
cold.
Used, I mean, this is down to the nth degree. The whip used should be neither new nor old and worn out, but something in between. The offender is not stretched out when scourged or bound. As his hands are left loose to fend off the blows,
ow.
Or should not be undressed, but rather an ankle-length shirt is left upon him or her. And the scourger does not lay the stripes on hard by raising the arm such that he draws blood. The scourger distributes the blows over various parts of the body, avoiding the vital points in the face. A man is scourged while standing, a woman sitting and covered. Let's see. If the penalty is stoning, the offender is stoned even in severe heat or cold, and even if he has an illness for which he is expected to recover. A pregnant woman is not stoned until she gives birth. The penalty for theft, and this is what they want to do up there in Michigan, in Dearborn and Hamtramck. The penalty for theft. A person's right hand is amputated, whether he is a Muslim, non-Muslim, subject of the Islamic State, or someone who has left Islam when he has reached puberty, is sane, and is acting voluntarily, and steals at least 1.058 worth of grams of gold or goods worth that much at the current market price at the time of the theft. If a person steals a second time, his left foot is amputated. If a third time, then his left hand, and if he steals again, then his right foot. If he steals a fifth time, he is disciplined. If he does not have a right hand, then his left foot is amputated. He has a right hand but loses it after the theft. But before he has been punished for it, then nothing is amputated. And after amputation, the limb is cauterized with hot oil to stop the bleeding and to save the criminal's life. Let's see, the penalty for highway robbery, both his right hand and left foot are amputated.
Do we have court? Do they have actually, do they get an attorney? I mean, how does it work in their system? Or is it just like,
I saw
you do it, so whack?
Yeah, they try you and then they do it.
Wow.
You know, it's open and shut. Did he do it? Yeah, he did it. Okay, take him out and cut something off. If a highwayman kills somebody, he must be executed, even when the person entitled to retaliation agrees to forego it. If the highwayman robs and kills, he is killed and then left crucified for 3 days. The penalty for drinking, all right? The penalty for drinking alcoholic beverages is to be scourged 40 stripes with hands, sandals, and the ends of clothes. It may be administered with a whip. Let's see, if it decreases the penalty, adultery, is only punished once for each type of crime, disciplinary action. Then we get into husbands and wives. A husband is entitled, I'm in 17.4, a husband is entitled to discipline his wife for not giving him his rights. By the way, his rights are defined in section M5.1 under marital obligations. A wife is only obligated to give her husband sex anytime he asks for it. There is no obligation on part of the wife to keep the house clean, wash the clothes, raise the kid, nothing, period.
Wow.
They are there for sex. Gone. Let's see, what else are we looking at here? Here is the section, matter of fact, on wives.
And the wives have basically no rights, right?
They have no rights whatsoever.
Yeah.
A wife's marital obligations, okay, this is in section W45.0. A wife's marital obligations, a marriage contract entails for her part only that she let him enjoy her sexually. She is not obligated to do other than that, period. That is in W45.1. Cruising along, let's see. more wifely stuff.
And so these guys in Michigan, are they, I mean, is the idea that they set up like a parallel universe? What happens to the people who aren't Muslim who live there? I mean, how do they,
they're in trouble. You want me to read what happens to them?
Yeah. No, but
okay,
yeah.
That comes under section 11.1, non-Muslim subjects of the Islamic State. The non-Muslims have to follow the rules of Islam. They have to pay the non-Muslim poll tax, which is called jizya in Arabic. So in other words, on Friday afternoon, it's no longer Guido that comes to pick up the envelope. It's now Ahmed. The minimum poll tax is per person per year is 4.235 grams of gold or in goods. Let's see. Are non-Muslims living under Sharia are distinguished from Muslims in dress wearing a wide cloth belt. By the way, this is where Hitler got the idea for the yellow star on the Jews in Germany. He got it directly from the Quran. The idea was given to him by Haji al-Husseini when he met with Hitler in 1941. He said, well, why aren't you distinguishing these Jews, you know, where you are? And so that's why he demanded that they all wear yellow stars. Mm-hmm. So if you are a non-Muslim, you must keep to the side of the street. You may not build higher than or as high as the Muslim buildings. You're forbidden to openly display wine or pork, so, you know, you can't have a liquor store or a butcher shop with a pork hanging in the window. You are forbidden to ring church bells or display crosses. You cannot recite the Torah or evangel out loud or make public display of your religious funerals or feast days. You are forbidden to build new churches or synagogues. A non-Muslim may not enter a mosque under any circumstances without permission. A non-Muslim cannot commit adultery with a Muslim woman or marry her. A Muslim cannot conceal a spy against Islam or lead a Muslim away from Islam. A non-Muslim may not kill a Muslim or mention something impermissible about Allah or the Prophet. That's where the blasphemy law comes in.
Ew.
Let's see.
Then, so who's the final arbiter on all this? Do they have, like, Sharia police, or is that what the imams do?
They have what's called a qadi. Q-A-D-I, a qadi is an Islamic judge, and there has to be a person who is the qadi in an Islamic court who is going to judge whatever the crime happens to be in accordance with Sharia. So, you know, within the confines of an Islamic community, provided that that has been granted, for example, like in England, where they have Sharia courts, you know, and if they catch a Muslim kid in there who stole, you know, a loaf of bread, then the qadi can demand that one of his hands be cut off.
And they have no rights within the society where they actually live?
No, they have a right to be represented. But on the other hand, they in Islam
they don't have
extenuating circumstances. You know, the kid had a bad childhood and his father beat him, and this is why he is the way he is. No, it is very direct. It is speedy. It is forthright. Did you steal the loaf of bread? And he either says yes, or they have two men or four women who will testify that they witnessed him stealing the loaf of bread. Therefore, you are a thief, and under, you know, Section O, in Sharia, here is the penalty for theft. Done.
Mm.
Now, they're going to do it surgically, and they outside of places like Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, you know, they don't do it out in the public square with a sword. They will actually do it surgically by a physician, you know, with drugs and
oh, well, that's
how
okay.
Nice, how
yeah.
nice is that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, and you wake up and you're missing your hand.
Yeah.
Or your foot.
Well, I guess what I'm, you know, because I don't know, I'm wondering, you know, just thinking about this thing here. So if they think they're going to do this in the United States, then what does it turn out like Native Americans? They have their own sovereign territory where they make their own sovereign rules. And if you're in their sovereignness, then they get to do whatever
the
they want.
Camel's nose under the tent. You know, it's just like this whole gun control debate. You know, one bite at a time. How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah.
Again, I have to tell you, please, go to my website and go to books. Go to Bill Wagner's little pamphlet on Sharia law for non-Muslims so that they understand what this is. And print those 47 pages out and just sit down there quietly and read it. Because he has all of the references in this pamphlet to the hadith of Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and the Quran and the reliance of the traveler, Sharia. It's all there. So if you want a brief compendium of what we're talking about today, that's where you got to go, and you got to go read it.
And if you're listening without a pen, I put all that on the webpage for today as well.
Yeah, there is a tremendous amount of information on IslamThreat.com. Just real quick, I Google searched mosques in the United States, and it came up with 271 mosques in California alone, and over 2,000. I think it came up with 2,044 mosques in the United States. So you don't have to travel very far to find a mosque. And just for kicks, I typed in Sharia law in America, and just to see how many states are recognizing. And I think you'd be interested to know, besides Michigan and Wisconsin, Texas and Florida both now are setting up Sharia courts. So we're going to take a quick break. We're speaking with Peter Friedman, and we'll be right back.
You can find all this information at IslamThreat.com, and that is linked up to our site at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll be right back. Good theme song for today. Read the book. We are here with Mr. Peter Read the Book Friedman. Tell you what. You
read the book.
Read the darn book already. And so for those of you that...
I got a funny for you, though.
Oh, okay. Fire away.
Just to show you how current this is, I'm on in W51.0 on page 965, and it talks about television. And it says the factors present, there's a list of the factors present in television that are unlawful or offensive, the existence of any one of which is sufficient to make watching it a violation of sacred law, including, and they list 16 things here, such as music, pictures, immorality, scenes of violence, saying that TV stunts intellectual growth, that waste time. Hey, remember, this is written for people that have an average IQ in the Middle East of 78. And then the last paragraph says, in the face of this formidable array of evil factors and harmful effects, no one can have any doubt of the illegality of television in Islam. Television, as has been seen, is an embodiment of sin and immorality. Islam can never condone or permit an institution which plays havoc with the spiritual, mental, and moral development of mankind.
Boy, that just begs the question, the next time you talk to a Muslim, you could ask him if they own a television.
Yeah. Hey, you own a TV?
Yeah.
Blasphemer!
Read the book!
Read the book!
Unbelievable. I mean, even if you didn't read the Quran, read this book. If you don't read Reliance of the Traveler, read Wagner's pamphlet on Sharia law for non-Muslims. It's just 47 pages, and it's all there. You don't really need to know anymore. That's what it is, and that's what they're trying to do up in Michigan, in Dearborn, and Hamtramck, and wherever else they can get away with it. And the more we bring in here, the more enclaves are going to be formed, the more communities. They do not assimilate. They are not allowed to assimilate. And, God, I just heard Zudi Jasser again, and he just got hired by, who did he get hired by? Some group, and I'm trying to remember who it was. And you cannot edit the word of God. You're going to have to call this whatever Zudi Jasser is trying to create, you're going to have to call it something other than Islam. You know, because it just, it's not. You know, you can't edit it. You can't pick and choose. It's not a Chinese menu, one from column A and two from column B. You know, it's, you've got to either take the whole thing and attend to the religious obligations that are in there, regardless of what they are, or how violent they may be. You know, and in when you go in, you read in the Hadith and the Quran, and it says when you go from Dar al-Islam, or the land where Islam is in control, to Dar al-Harb, which is the land of war or conflict, where Islam is not in control, you have to continue to migrate. It's called a civilization jihad, and you have to continue to invade and migrate until you become strong enough in numbers where you can now have a political influence. And when you think about America and you think about Obama being elected and immediately doing his first speech on June 4, 2009 in Cairo at Al-Azhar University in the presence of the Muslim Brotherhood, who was invited to attend even though Mubarak had outlawed him for 40 years, and then he comes back and he immediately, within a month, installs members of the Muslim Brotherhood in the West Wing of the White House to be part of this outreach program. What in God's name is going on?
You know, Peter, getting back to this television thing, if television is evil and they're, you know, they don't believe in it, how do they justify all these television networks and Islamic channels, if they're not watching it, are they broadcasting that for the non-Muslims?
I got to tell you, sir, if I was up there sitting in the room with you, I'd give you a SWAT right now.
Because I didn't read the book.
Want me to do
Taqiyya.
It?
Taqiyya. Religious
yeah.
deception.
Yep.
Taqiyya.
Yeah.
Propaganda to advance the cause of Islam.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear
that.
That
is religious deception to Kia.
Oh, yeah. Bill said he knew that the whole time.
I just wanted to hear you say it.
I'll beat him up
there
after
you
the
go.
Show.
It's just
Al Jazeera.
It's just crazy to the rest of us who just, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we've got our own propaganda. Obviously, we have MSNBC to count on for that and a bunch of others. But just the idea that a whole religion is based on
Well, they say one thing and do another. And then when you catch them on something, then they can throw the whole lying thing in your face that they're only doing it because they want to fool you. And I mean, they have an answer for everything, and none of it makes any sense.
Absolutely. It's brilliant.
It is.
It is absolutely
They're always
brilliant.
Right. They can always be right
And
that
then
way.
They've cowed a huge segment of the population into silence because, well, then you're not being tolerant.
Yeah, don't irritate us or we'll get violent.
But see,
the last thing I really want to reinforce with you is people are going to come back to you and say, no, it's a religion of peace. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Quran and you go to book 2 or chapter 2 and you go to verse 256, it specifically says there is no compulsion in religion. So no, they don't want to convert you. They don't read the verses that come before that, and they don't read the verses that come after it. And I want to reiterate that fact because it's one of the most important things that we've talked about in the last four Sundays. If a Muslim comes to you as a non-Muslim and says, I want to try to convert you, and you say, again, no thanks, got a very nice one, not interested. The Muslim then must defend themselves against you and the possibility of you influencing other people to not listen to that Muslim proselytizing. So, in other words, there can be no compulsion in religion, according to Book 2, verse 256, until Muslims are allowed to proselytize without obstruction. That's where the whole defensive mode comes in. That's how they sell that. We are now having to defend ourselves against people who are persecuting us for not allowing us to try and convert non-Muslims. It's brilliant. I'll be the first person to admit it.
Yeah,
it's brilliant because there's an answer for everything. There's a rationale for everything. And any question you come up with, there is something that can be pointed to that will make their case.
And anytime you question them, then that gives them the right to attack you.
Exactly. In defense.
Right.
In defense. Any criticism means they are allowed to defend Islam until everybody agrees, okay, we're going to listen to you. Go ahead and sell your pitch. It's like, you know, when you get the advertisement in the mail from a real estate agent who says, I'm going to buy you a great dinner at this wonderful restaurant, and all you got to do is listen to my real estate investment pitch or a retirement pitch. It's the same thing. Except here, under those circumstances, you have the right to say, no, thank you. I don't want to listen to your pitch, so I don't need your dinner.
Yeah, and the other way you don't. So, okay, now that we've got all these people here and we've got a couple thousand mosques and let's face it, 98% of the country, I'm just going to be generous, because isn't that our average IQ here, 98? So we'll say 98%, that's my loose math there, hasn't figured this out yet. We're headed for someplace really bad.
They haven't had to figure it out because it hasn't impacted them yet personally.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing right there. It has not impacted them personally.
But by the time it does, by the time this moves into your town and they're throwing down the prayer rugs in the street like they do in London and Paris and these other places.
In New York.
Oh, they do it in New York.
Right there
too.
On Lexington Avenue in New York.
They just throw.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing pictures of that.
I've got pictures of that.
Shut down traffic, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Nope.
They've given them the right to do
that.
And
so at that point, there's no way to stop it.
Not peacefully.
Uh-uh. Yikes.
It's a very scary situation. And we're going to get too soon old and too late smart.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And, you know.
Well, we had discussed with you offline about doing some education on some Middle East history you know, a little bit how we got here. And I know you have a really excellent presentation on Israel and how that was, you know, established, and the things that were told about Gaza and all that, the Palestinians.
Yeah, that's on my website.
Yeah, we really need to talk about some of that, because that factors in as well. A lot of this, a lot of this is all tied together, and it's all history that we don't really focus on. I mean, gee, think they got rid of Revolutionary War history. We sure as heck aren't going back to Middle East history.
To simplify the Muslim-Israeli conflict, very simply, Israel is the pebble in the Muslim shoe.
Mm-hmm. So so that little peaceful coexistence is never happening.
Nope, never will. Can't.
Yeah, it's not possible.
It can't.
Well, same too here. I mean, if we intend to keep our constitution and the rule of law and all those things, we can't have another civilization, a primitive civilization, moving on top of it.
They just don't coexist. I mean, you can put the bumper sticker on all you want, but they don't coexist. They diametrically oppose each other, and you can't have both sets of rules for one society. You better pick.
No, they can't coexist.
No,
they're not allowed to coexist.
Nope. So you have to pick which one you want, and you're basically going to be at war with the other by their own words.
So let's do a little pitch. Okay, so let's say we've got somebody out there who is, you know, dealing with this in their church or in their city council or whatever, who's listening to this and really needs to get factual information out and wants you to come and do that for them. Let's do a little shameless self-promotion here. How would you like them to get a hold of you, and what are you willing to?
Yeah, just click on the email button, and I am more than willing to go just about anywhere, and you know, do a presentation. What we've done for the last four Sundays is roughly a workshop that I would rather do, like on a Saturday, all day Sunday, rather than do, you know, 1 hour lunch or 1 hour dinner things, because
sure,
it's never enough, and it's more entertainment than it is informative.
Right.
Yeah, you can't really get into the weeds on any of this in an hour.
No. And that website, again, is islamthreat.com. If you go there, I guarantee you will find everything you need to know about Islam, from Sharia law to locations of the nearest mosque. I mean, it's all there.
I'm not looking at it, but the piece that we were talking about today, you click on book.
On books, yeah.
And then what is it, Sharia for the non-Muslim?
Yes.
Yeah, Sharia law for non-Muslims. It's about the fourth or fifth one down, I guess. Just click on that. It opens up in a PDF.
Right.
And you can either read it online or just print it out, one of the two.
Yeah, and all the books are there as well. I mean, you can download the Quran, the Hadith, all of it's there. And you can download it, print it, hand it out.
Read the book.
Read. Yep. Read
at the end
book.
Of the day, read the book. Yeah, because this whole
book
idea, let people know what the, let's, just in our last, you know, minute and a half here, We didn't hammer the religion of peace today like we have in previous shows. So if somebody just has tuned in to today, debunk the religion of peace for us.
You know, again, I mean, if anybody wants me to come and talk to a group, I've been up there to Reading, as a matter of fact, talking to the Tea Party and with Napa, the one up in Grass Valley. I've been up as far north as Humboldt.
And bottom line is, I'm assuming you'll debate anytime, anywhere, radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have the books right there in front of me.
And you just never get any takers, do you?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, interesting.
Not for years.
Wow.
Because I just sit and read from the book.
Right.
Yeah, here's what it says. You know, that's, well, your interpretation isn't correct, you know, and then I'm sitting here with a Reliance of the Traveler in front of me, and I'm going, well, let's see, Al-Azhar University says this is correct, and Sheikh De Lorenzo at the you know, international Islamic thought and research. And I mean, all these people have said that this is absolutely, you know, an honest translation. And where are you going to go?
Yeah, then they're doomed. Mr. Friedman, we thank you. This has been wonderful.
Anytime.
And bottom line is, welcome to the no-go zone if everybody falls for Sharia. What a mess that'll be. Time to stand up and stick up for ourselves and read the darn book already. Thanks very much.
Read the book.
You can find his information at IslamThreat.com. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.